Good morning. I'm here today to call out one special person. I'm here today to call out the liar and the thief. I'm here today to call out the chief among cowards. I'm here today to call out the father of all frauds. I'm here today to call out the author of all evil, the diabolical deceiver among deceivers. And here's the great news, is none of you. It's the devil himself. Folks, we're in a battle. Ladies, by the way, stop pointing at your husband. I see the ladies going, I think he's talking about you. Liar among liars, deceiver among deceivers. No, the devil himself will call him out and put him in his proper place. The devil's enjoying nothing more than causing discord in the church. How do you still believe that the devil is out roaring about seeking whom he may devour? Certainly. How many of you agree that his number one priority right now is to hurt the church? He can't hurt Jesus Christ, but he can hurt the church. He's got us in his sights. Yes. That's why we're going to call him out. Call him what he is. He's the father of all evil, the author of all lies. He's deceiver among deceivers. How does he do this? You don't need to open your Bibles. Just commit to some memories. Easy to remember. The wisest man who ever lived next to the Lord Jesus Christ himself said this. A Song of Solomon, chapter 2, about verse 15, 14, 15 there. He said, the little foxes will spoil the vines. Who ever heard their grandmother say that? It's the little foxes that come into the vineyards and spoil that. That's what the devil does. He allows little things to come into the church. Little changes of doctrine, little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of gossip, a little bit of committees, a little bit of talking in the parking lot, a little bit changing more of the doctrine, and sooner or later, we've got a mess on our hands. That's why we're calling them out here today. Would you open your Bibles with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as well as your study guide inside of your bulletin here on the left-hand side. This is vitally important. Satan's only hope. Satan's only hope is for you and I to give up on the fight. Satan's only hope is for you and I to quit on Easter. What do you mean? Specifically, on the backside of Easter. You want to write down something there in your introduction section? Why don't you write this down? Easter isn't over. Say that with me, please. Easter isn't over. One more time. Easter isn't over. The devil would enjoy nothing more than to see us just enjoy Easter. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the comfort, the counsel of all of our hope, and just put it on a shelf for another 51 weeks. He's deceiving many. The father of all fraud. The liar among liars. And yes, even in some pulpits and some churches, it would shock you. I don't give you any stats, because I'm big on that. It would shock you to find out how many Christians today around this world, and specifically here in America, no longer believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. It would shock you. Something you and I just take for granted. Something you and I are going to be enjoying here today. Up from the grave he arose. He's not here, for he is risen. Folks, if he is not risen from the grave, if he did not rise from the grave, if he's not the resurrected Lord, you and I are dead in our trespasses and sin. It's worth us going back and considering this again. Before we go to the Word of God, let's go to God of the Word, shall we? Father, in the name of your Son, the resurrected one, regardless of what fables say, regardless of what liberals say, regardless of what even some ordained ministers say, up from the grave you arose, conquered death itself, victory over sin. And we who put our faith and trust in you, in like manner will follow, you being the first fruit of those which slept. And we too, to be absent from this body, can be present there in the presence of Almighty God, based on your holy script, not our merit, on your grace, your merit, your blood, your atonement that is offered for all of mankind. We celebrate the hope we have in Christ Jesus while calling the devil out here today. His only hope is to deceive us, to discourage us, to get us off on little items of business and stuff doesn't amount to anything. God help us. Here at this church and churches all around this world to remain focused on our future that was founded many years ago there at Calvary, the everlasting hope in Christ Jesus. We love you. We pray all this in your holy name. Amen. Praise God again that the liar and the thief, the deceiver, the cheat, the scoundrel among scoundrels is not us. But beware. Everybody say beware. Beware. He's trying to deceive many. Like a roaring lion, he'll find the weak, the feeble, the elderly, the young. He has no business. We'll just put it that way. Here in this church, nor in your heart. Satan's only hope. Look at your study notes. Satan's only hope is to deceive. He can't change the future, but he can deceive many, and he's done so over the years. Write down there in your introduction section, Jude chapter 1, verse number 4, please. Jude 1, 4, of course, there's not but one chapter in Jude, but listen what it says. In Jude verse 4, we should earnestly contend for the faith. In verse 3, why? Because in verse 4, because there are certain men which crept in unaware, unsuspecting. That's the way the devil does this. He changes our seminaries, then he changes the pulpit. He changes the Sunday school class, he changes the pastor. He changes the church. Folks, can we not keep it simple? Can we not keep it simple? You already have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We've already discovered this during our Easter celebrations. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, how Satan's only hope, he sneaks in, he tries to discourage, he tries to confuse, he tries to upset that which Christ already established. How in verse number 3, how Christ died for our sins. Verse 4, how he was buried. And verse 4, on the third day, what happened? He rose again according to what? To the Scriptures. To the Scriptures. So the good news is, the scoundrel among us is not us. We may have just been led astray. You may have had that professor in a university, in a college. You may have had that teacher in school, in anthropology, or archaeology, that has discounted everything we learned in Sunday school as a child. Everything we've read in the Holy Scriptures. How God created man in image and likeness of himself, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. How we're born with an Adamic nature, how we're sinners in need of a Savior, how we didn't come from monkeys or pond scum. I'm not here to pick a fight, but the devil has crept into our schools and now he's creeping into our churches. He's changed something so simple we can't even enjoy the celebrations of Easter, the death, burial, and most importantly, the resurrection. That's why we're still going to camp out this morning as well as tonight. I'm calling the devil out today. He's not welcome here. He is not welcome here. We're not going to fight amongst ourselves, and we're certainly not going to change anything that's first and foremost and founded in the Word of God. Amen? It's not up for vote. Who gets to change the Word of God? Nobody. So Satan's only hope is to creep in like little foxes, creep in the back door, change it, just change this, tweak that a little bit. I'm calling them out this morning. I'm calling them out tonight. I'm going to be giving you tonight 6 of the most common lies of the devil. Can I be honest? That I hear among preachers today. They've accepted it. They've adopted it now as, well, it makes sense. Man's sense or God's facts? Which one is it? Satan's only hope is to change what took place at Calvary all of those years ago. Consider with me verse number 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Verse number 12. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You see what's taking place? Just a few years after Jesus Christ rose from the grave, the church at Corinth, and no doubt many other Jews, Gentiles, Christians alike, now had crept in with the help of the devil and had changed the blessed resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus rose from the grave, how many of you now are saying, well, there's no resurrection of the dead? Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Doesn't that make sense? And verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching today is in vain. Why are we even here, friends? And your faith also in vain. You better enjoy life now. You don't have a clue where you're going to go, what's going to take place. If Christ didn't rise from the grave, your faith is futile, is empty. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth and Christians all around the world. He's saying, listen, it's so simple. Death, burial, resurrection, don't change it. Verse 15, chapter 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Oh, dear God, there's a lot of false witnesses out there today. But we have testified of God. They raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead doesn't rise. Verse 16, if the dead rise not, then Christ isn't raised. And verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet still in your sins. Then they also, which have fallen asleep, which is a metaphor for dead, those which have fallen asleep in Christ, they're just perishing. They have no hope. And verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If all of our hope is right now, from some 60, 70, 80 years, you better enjoy it. Because there's no hope, no eternal hope. You see what's taking place? They took something so simple, and the devil, the deceiver among deceivers, came in. And his diabolical methodologies. He came in, he says, I'm just going to tweak this and tweak that. Isn't that sad? This is 1 Corinthians. We find over here in verse number 6 of chapter 15. Let's back up for just a little bit. He was seen of Peter and the 12 disciples. But what are you going to do in verse number 6? With 500. It's very logical that some of the people he's writing to actually saw the resurrected Lord, and now they're spreading rumors about, oh, we don't really believe in a bodily resurrection. You saw him not long ago. You ought to be teaching your children's children's children. Goodness, what else would it take? You saw him die on the cross. You saw them put him in the grave. You saw the water and the blood, medically proving he was dead. He wasn't in a coma. Then you saw him days later, walking about, supping with you, talking with you, teaching you. 500 of us saw him. How can we change this? The same way the world has changed it today. The same way the world has changed it. Folks, look at your study notes. If Christ did not rise from the grave, this is Satan's only hope. Then write this down. Then our preaching would be pointless. Our preaching would be pointless. Myself, Pastor Andrew, other ordained men here, our Bible teachers, our preaching is pointless. All we're doing now is just wasting breath. You mean all the sermons, all the songs, all the sermons sung and song here. I love to tell the story. Who knew every word of that hymn? Isn't that a classic? I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story. But if Christ did not rise from the grave, the Apostle Paul saying, your preaching, your singing, your teaching is pointless. Verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, what does it say? Then our preaching is in vain, it's futile. The next thing down here, number two, your faith would be foolish. Write that down, please. Our preaching would be pointless, but our faith would be foolish. Here's where the unsaved man often struggles. Write down Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. You know, this whole thing about faith. Oh, if I could just see the Lord himself, I would believe. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1 says, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You saw him die. You saw him be laid to rest. Days later, you saw him walking about, and you still don't believe. When people say, oh, if I get to see God like Moses saw God, if I get to see God like the disciples saw God, I would believe. No, you wouldn't. Because by grace are you saved through your faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Are you saved today? This would be a good place to pause and ask. Are you saved today? Say hallelujah if you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. We got to get this straight, this foundational for our faith. Before we try to have vacation Bible school, before we try to have revivals, before we try to have camps, before we try to do anything else this summer, we got to make sure we understand the basics of Easter. Satan's only hope is to creep in unawares, Jude said, the half-brother Jesus Christ. Creep in and just turn some little foxes loose here and there. What did God allow me to share with you last Sunday night? Be careful. Everybody say beware. Beware, for the devil is loose and running about. What happened on the backside of hundreds of years of bondage of God's people when they were led out of Egypt by Moses? You heard from our North American Mission Board missionary last week about Moses. When God led them out, the cloud by day, the fire by night, they were having a glory hallelujah time until Pharaoh's army came. The first time they were tested, the first time they really had to test their faith, what they start to do? Complain and murmur. Be careful. Beware. If someone comes to you right now, God is blessing the church, people are being saved, joining the church, baptism next Sunday, and they start murmuring, gossiping, you just say, beware. Pastor Dallas says, I want to call you out. You can do that. Throw me under the bus. Drive over me two or three times. We're not having that. We're not going to complain. We're not going to be contentious. Why? Because there's still people who need to be saved. The devil enjoys nothing more than to see churches fight. Raise your hand. I don't want a testimony. Have you ever been in a church split? You ever been a part of a church split? Have you ever seen the devil get into a good church and confuse the minds, confuse the council? They get away from the Word of God. They have more meetings than they do have prayer. They have more private meetings over the phone. God, help us. Satan's only hope, he can't change the future. His only hope now is causing much discord and confusion among the brethren. He already has the liberals. Bible-believing, Christ-honoring, mission-minded, soul-winning churches, we're number one in his sights. You realize that? It's time to get serious. Amen? It's time to get serious. We're going to have a long, hard winter. Eventually, warm weather's going to be here. Our preaching is not pointless. Our faith is not foolish. Our disciples are not going to be deceivers. Write that down, please. If Satan did not confuse everybody, this wouldn't be a problem. But he did. Back in this day, consider with me, verse number 15. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God. Who's he talking to? The Corinthians. Oh my goodness, the disciples, the students, they should know better. They saw Jesus. Look up this way. Perhaps you haven't spent time in the back of your Bible. Do it later. I started throwing overhead up here, but God elected enough for me not to do that today. But if you ever go back to the maps in the backside of your Bible, when was the last time you really spent time Look at the maps. Palestine, Jerusalem, the steps of Jesus, the Passion Week. How about this? The missionary journeys of Paul. You probably have this in the back of your Bible. The missionary journeys of Paul. Anybody have any idea where Corinth is? If you look at Macedonia, Asia over here, Asia Minor, over, Macedonia here, you go really about to the southernmost point after the Macedonian call. You go find surrounded by the Mediterranean Sea with Italy over here. Remember the boot you learned about in school? I'm just trying to draw a picture. If I throw something on the overhead screen, I'll lose you. So use your imagination. You have the boot. You have Italy right here. You have Jerusalem as we know it over here. You have the Mediterranean Sea, the islands of Crete, and others leading up to it. But right below this, here in Greece, you go a little bit further down, you have this little peninsula, if you will. And right there, the crux is Corinth, a very strategically placed town. Listen to it. It was a world trade center, surrounded by water. If you elected not to go through Corinth, west to east or east to west, you had to take about a 250-mile trek around the oceans, turbulent waters, many months, very expensive, very dangerous. You know what historians tell us? This little area where Corinth is, they would try to get from the east to the west to the east, there in that commercial market. They would often go and bring their ships up on the land. And through skids and rollers, they would maneuver their ship because it's just a small little area right here. By the 19th century, they completed a channel there, a canal to cut through there. You can see still there today, I'm told. But I believe it's Constantine who got excited for Jesus and liberalized the Bible. He also wanted missionary travels being made there. So he started this canal, and it's finished about the 19th century. This town of Corinth carries great weight in the Bible. If someone says you're Corinthicizing, that's not a compliment. They had a metropolis there, extremely wealthy, extremely educated, extremely pagan-minded. Look with me in verse 12 and following. You see what's taking place? You're changing the scriptures. You're changing the preaching. You're changing the disciples. You're changing everything here. There's an Acropolis there. What is that? It's a city among a city above a city. The Acropolis here in Corinth sat about 2,000 feet above the lower peninsula of Corinth there, the trade city, the valley where most people live. Here at the peak of this Acropolis, you found a place of defense, just like Jerusalem, a city set on a hill. You could see the enemy coming from ship or by land. But also they made a place of worship there. The goddess of love, what was her name? Was worshiped there. They had over 1,000 prostitutes working out of this temple there in Corinth. They would come down in the evening to visit the men in the name of worship. Consider all these things. If you want to travel east to west, you either had to go all the way around it, months, dangerous, expensive, or make a land trek across it, even with a ship. Or certainly you're going north to south or south to north, you had to go through Corinth. I think that would just be a dandy place with all the problems here. That would just be a dandy place to plant a Bible-believing church. How about you? Don't you think it'd be easy? Don't you think they're just starving? Starving there with all the temple prostitutes and all the problems there, with all the false doctrines, with Satan coming from the north and the south and the east and the west, creeping in, all the little foxes being turned loose, pulling all the vines. Don't you think that would be just an easy place to plant a church? People are just begging for the truth. The Apostle Paul thought so. So that's why one of the early missionary journeys, he did that. He stayed over a year there. There's something known as business. You've heard the phrase before, location, location, location. Allow me to make it real personal. When God planted this church many years ago, it was by no accident. Look at the perfect location of this church. If people travel in this, they have to go past the church. I'm glad I get to serve in a church that doesn't debate the things that are forever settled in heaven. Can I get amen? I'm glad to be in a church that the devil is not permitted here. His only hope is to sneak in a window, a back door, creep into a classroom, creep into a committee. He's not welcome here because he's going to try to disrupt the momentum God is already building here. That's what was taking place in Corinth. You ever notice how the Apostle Paul and all of his epistles, with the exception of Timothy and Titus, he always titled the book after the place where it's addressed? O ye Corinthians, he said. That wasn't a compliment. You're taking something so simple. I need you. You're in a perfect location. God needs you. You have been strategically placed here with a purpose to share the simple gospel. So beware. The devil wants to sneak in. He wants to change things. And if he does, notice again, verse 14, our preaching would be pointless. Our faith would be foolish. Our own disciples would become deceivers. Dear God, when I go to pastor conferences and talk to some of the brethren, I'm talking about ordained Baptist ministers. And they no longer believe in the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. They no longer believe in soul winning. For the love of God, what are you doing? You're becoming a deceiver. The devil is using you as a pawn. Don't you see that? And we collectively as a church, we're calling him out. We know his game. It didn't work back in this day. Paul cleans it up. Titus had to go in there in Alam Crete. He had to change some things. We're calling him out. We know his number. We know his plan. We got his. Consider with me number 4 down here in verse 17. Read along with me in verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Yet ye are in your sins. You are in your sins. The fourth thing down here, sinners would die in their sin. Real simple. Look how simple this is. If Christ didn't rise from the grave, when you and I die, we're going to die in our sins. We'll split hell wide open. Because Christ is the only answer. All of these things, your preaching would be pointless. Your faith would be foolish. Your own disciples, your leaders would become deceivers. You would die in your sin. Write down number 5, quick. Heaven would be a hoax. Heaven. We talk about heaven. We sing about heaven. We quote all the verses. Be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. The blessed hope. Fear not. But if all this is just a fable, if all this is just a foolish story that man made up, heaven's a hoax. Folks, heaven's for real, amen? And God wants everybody here and everybody within listening distance of my voice to prepare themselves for heaven. It's our reward. Our reward. Oh, my goodness. 1979, I had a brand new four-wheel drive pickup truck. Can I get all the men to say amen? I took my young bride-to-be. My grandmother was dying over in Charleston, West Virginia. I took my fiance, who now is my wife of all these years. I took her over here in the middle of winter. Who remembers when the interstate used to stop right out here on 64? Who remembers that? You can appreciate what I'm about to say. When they finally opened it up, I got outside of my car and kissed Interstate 64. You think I'm lying? Because all those years we had to make that trek over. You've been up through Anstead, Sam Black Church. You know what I'm talking about up there? Hawk's Nest and all that. You know what I'm talking about? You made that trek. Oh, isn't that gorgeous? Yes! You better not stop at Shoney's and eat on the way, amen? You might see it again before you go on the other side of Hawk's Nest. You know what I'm talking about? But here we are, pulled off on the side of a road, locked into the four-wheel drive during a gas crunch, and a vehicle got about 12 miles to the gallon and made our way over because I want my grandmother to meet Donna. Because my grandmother was the only Christian I knew in my whole family. And her to pray with my wife. We got going up through there, and the snow kept coming and coming and coming, a higher elevation, the deeper the snow. And Donna was trying to lighten things up. She said, "Dallas, I appreciate you driving so carefully, but the speed limit sign says here through all these windy roads, you can drive 55 miles an hour, honey, if you want to." And I said, "Donna, did you happen to notice? There's no guardrails here. I'm cutting my own path. Not even a coal truck is here." We still laugh about this today. She said, "Oh, that makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense." Because all the way over, I was singing John Denver's "Almost Heaven, West Virginia." She said, "Now I know why they call it Almost Heaven. Because you almost die when you go through those mountains there." Goodness. Heaven's not a hoax. Heaven is for real. You and I got to get serious about this. And don't let anybody change one daughter tittle. I heard a silly story about a liberal preacher. I calls him as I sees him, brother. Who is in downtown New York City in a taxi cab. Have you been in a taxi cab in New York City? Boy, that'll tempt your faith, won't it? Your religion anyways. But the story goes, this old boy and the taxi cab driver, they perished. They died in an accident there. They made it to heaven. And St. Peter was waiting on there at the gate. I don't know why we always say that, but he was. He hugged the taxi cab driver and said, "Come on in. I want you to see your mansion." "I've got a mansion just over the..." And you know the rest. He showed him the glorious mansion. Well, that pious, pompous preacher was back there dusting himself off. Been a preacher for all those years, never believing the Word of God, never preaching the truth. The taxi cab driver started walking over with Jesus. He said, "Excuse me, Peter, Jesus, what about me?" He said, "Oh, yeah, you got a little cabin down the road." "What? What? All the years that I preached the truth, all the years that I taught the truth?" "Nay, nay," they said. "While you were so-called preaching, while you were so-called teaching, the people were sleeping." But the taxi cab driver, while he was driving, everybody in the back seat was praying, "Amen, just get me out of here, just get me out of here, just get me out of here." Isn't that terrible that a taxi cab driver would bring people more to their faith than a liberal preacher? Come on, friends. Heaven's not a hoax. Look at verse 17, implied here, verse 18. "They which have fallen asleep of Christ are perished." Look at verse number 18 and 19 quickly. Futures would be fearful. Write it down. Futures would be fearful. Write that down, please. If heaven was a hoax, if Satan's only hope there's no resurrection, our futures would be fearful. I'd be afraid to die. How about you? The last thing down here, while the boys and girls are coming in, Christ would be conquered. Christ would be conquered. Look at verse number 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and became the first fruits of them that slept." If Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, he would have been conquered. That's Satan's only hope. And some people preach that and teach that, but not us. Why? Because Satan is the father of lies, and Jesus Christ is the father of life. Everybody say life. Life. Eternal life. Look at the last Bible verse down here for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. "Glory be to God, for as in Adam all die, but in Christ all shall be made alive." Are you alive in Christ Jesus today? If not, you can settle that score right now. I invite you in a moment of silence. It helps me to concentrate by bowing my head and closing my eyes. Maybe they will aid you as well. Let me talk to God on our behalf. Father God, in the authority of this blessed book, that is perfect. We stand before you today with our shoulders thrown back as soldiers of the cross. Somebody has got to stand in the line. Somebody's got to be on the watchtower. Somebody's got to hold that line. May we be that church. May we be that people. May we never, ever, ever give to any manner of liberalism. May we be careful, Lord, that we become all about committees rather than Christ. Focus more on finances than the future of Jesus Christ. We thank you for everything we have here in this church. But begin with this, Pastor, keep me humble. Help us to be ambassadors, workers, who never, ever, ever, ever give in to some little fox who comes to spoil the vines. Whoever listens to a lie of the devil, who's ever deceived in any manner of any liberal theology, from this day forward, we want to be believers in Christ Jesus and accept it, adopt it, and share it with a world who needs it desperately. God, help us. Satan's only hope is to confuse us, but we're calling him out. He's not welcome here. We're going to be focused on missions, soul winning, Bible inerrancy, accuracy, and just sharing the love of Jesus Christ in any manner we can here. So, Lord, if that one person today who has never been saved needs to come forward to make that public acknowledgement, give them the fortitude, the strength, the power, the courage, the boldness to do so, while knowing that, beware, the devil says, you got plenty of time. Beware, you don't need to make a public profession. You don't need to be baptized. Beware, that's all just a hoax. Beware, that's just a story. Dear God, give them the confidence they need. Through the unction of the Holy Spirit of the living God, that we invited here at the beginning of this service, fall fresh on us right now. We do this in your loving name, Jesus Christ. Amen.